Well, if you have a Bible, we'll be in Psalms 103 tonight. Want to help you kind of understand, and we're going to see tonight, is there really any benefits in following the Lord? Is there really any benefit in doing what we do? Is there any benefits in following the Lord? I look at this chapter, it's almost like bookends. And the beginning of this is, bless the Lord, O my soul. And it ends with, bless the Lord, O my soul. And what we're going to find out is, if it's just two bookends, we need to find out what's in the middle of it. And we'll understand what this is about. So there's benefits in serving the Lord. Let me tell you, there are benefits in serving the Lord. There's benefits in all of this. I'm not going to get into the other parts. We're just going to stick in this part. Because benefits of serving the Lord, it's an unexhaustive list. Because this is awesome. But we're going to read what David wrote here. But I just will tell you, the longer that you are a Christian, the more you will fall in love with our Lord. You may learn to love him at your moment of crisis when you first come to him, or realization that you were lost. And there is that open beginning of love. But it's that love that continues to grow year after year through moment in life, through crisis and tragedy, to excitement and joyful and celebrations, to heartbrokenness. You'll learn that the benefits are there wherever you are. Okay, so we're going to look at this. So we're going to cut these in a lot of smaller sections, but I promise you, we'll finish it in the time that we have. So in verse 1 of Psalms 103, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. It is all about Jesus here. It's blessing nothing else but him and his name. Because he's worthy. We aren't, but we are in Christ. But on alone, without Christ, we are not worthy. Moses said, I'm not even worthy. John the Baptist says, I'm not even worthy to carry Jesus' sandals. But bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. There is no name that is holy but the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So we're going to get into this. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Let's not forget the benefits of having a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not all about its salvation, but it begins with salvation. Okay? Because it's a whole lot more when you begin to get into it. Verse 3 says, who forgives all your iniquities? And who heals all your diseases? Who forgives you all of your iniquities, all those things that you've done against the Lord? He, Jesus Christ, is the one who forgives us. If someone else forgives you for you did something against them, it's good that you can work it out. It's good that you can work it out. But they cannot forgive like the Lord Jesus Christ forgives. And we'll see that in just a few. But he says, who heals all your diseases? And you may say, well, someone has cancer, or someone has lupus, or someone has MS, someone is deaf, someone is mute. Here's what I love to see is this, he heals it, whether it's on this side of heaven or it's on that side. For the believer, for if a person has those things that are not believer, they go into even a worse situation where those things aren't even considered bad, comparable to the place of hell and what all it brings and its surroundings. So he does forgive us of all our iniquities, and he heals all of our diseases. But the benefits don't stop. They continue to go on. Verse 4, who redeems your life from destruction? Most of us, when Jesus found us, had us, it was when we were living a life against God's will. And he finds us. He knew where we were, but we use the word he finds us. He calls us, and when we come to Christ, it's because he knocked on our door. And he redeems your life, which means your life was lost, but he redeems it. Puts it back into a purpose. And then the finishing of that verse says, who crowns you with loving kindness, tender mercies. So not only does he find us, he redeems our life. He doesn't leave us at that spot, leaves us there. He crowns us with loving kindness, which we do not truly understand that when we first come to Christ. And we struggle to learn that through our whole life. As a Christian and a mature Christian, we will truly not truly understand the benefits of Christ until we get to heaven. But we have them. And tender mercies. There is no touch like the touch from Jesus Christ. There is no touch like that. And I don't believe it only happens at salvation. I don't believe it only happens at salvation or at your baptism. But I believe it's something that should happen and happens through your whole life as a believer. When you go to a funeral, you know that your heart is broken, but your spirit is not broken. Which means you may be mourning the loss of a loved one, but you know because they know Christ that they're going to be in heaven. You'll see them again, but it doesn't take away the brokenness of the heart that you're going to miss them. But the hope is, and we know the hope is true from Christ, that we will see them again. Verse 5, he says, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? So there's a part that the Lord satisfies. He can satisfy those things that we desire, those things that we desire in our life. He can give that to us. It's the things that he gives to us, not the things that we desire in human as a lost person or worldly desires. But he satisfies your mouth with good things. And I can say good things tonight about who the Lord is. And you can too. And when it says that your youth is renewed like the eagles, it isn't that you just, it's not this, I don't think it's about your age. And I say this all the time, that outwardly we're all falling apart, but inwardly, as you walk with Christ, you're growing, and you almost get, you're younger in a sense. Good. You can flex it out. There's a renewed strength inside of you when you allow Christ and enjoy his benefits. There's a renewed strength that happens inside of you. Like, how do I get that? Regardless of your age, there's a renewness inside of you. But only Christ can give that. But the benefits aren't over. He goes into verse 6. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. God knows who's getting the dirty deals. He knows who's oppressed. He makes a way where a way can't be found. And he allows things to happen for a while, to go on a little longer than we want it to, so that when we get to a point that he does do something, we know that it is by his hand. And then we turn around and give praise to him for that. And then we can say, bless the Lord, O my soul. Let me share with you what the Lord has did for me in my time of being oppressed or whatever it may be. Verse 7, he also said, and he made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. And this is what he shows. The people were oppressed in Egypt. And God shows his ways. And he did it through Moses, through all of the miracles and all those things. And he did that so the people would know. Egypt saw it, but they didn't catch it. But the Israelites were seeing it. And they came out and they left out of Egypt singing. And God did some great things there. Verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. We all need to know tonight, if we have a relationship with Christ, that God has been merciful to us. He's been merciful to us and he's been very gracious. God, how many days say? The Lord Jesus Christ, if you're a believer, is more involved in your life than you think. But a lost person, the Lord, I want you to know, the Lord is more involved in the world than you think. He's slow to anger, but he's abounding in mercy. But let's not test the Lord, okay? Do not test the Lord, okay? Scriptures, there's some scriptures about that too. But he is slow to anger and abounding in mercy. Verse 9, he will not always strive with us. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. God's not going to be angry all forever with you. We have a tendency to think that God, because we've done something, God is angry with us forever. He's not. He's not that way. He doesn't hold grudges. He doesn't do those things. He is a perfect God working with imperfect people and imperfect children. Every one of us have been disobedient to God somewhere in our walk with him. We've all been disobedient. We've all been disobedient. We've all went away. We've all strayed a time or two. But he has been faithful. And sometimes he receives us with arms open wide. And sometimes we arouse his anger. But he doesn't stay angry. He says this in verse 10. How? Because he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Is that not true? I have not been punished according to what I've done against God. He's not dealt with me according to my sins, nor punished me according to my iniquities. He's a pretty good God, wouldn't you say? Isn't that showing his loving kindness and his mercy? Now let me stop for a minute. Why can't we be a little bit more in this same area as God is? Because he's given us his Holy Spirit, so we need to be showing a little bit more of that too toward our brothers and sisters and to others. Amen? All right? We need to be watching that. Think about it for a minute. Is there something that you've done that in your life you never thought the Lord would forgive you for? I'm sure we've all thought that. Maybe it was when you became a Christian, or maybe there was something before you became a Christian. There's no way that the Lord Jesus would forgive me for the actions that I've done. You don't know my story, and I did some things. I'm telling you, this is what he says, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far he had removed our transgressions from us. God can deal with any sin as long as you want to deal with it, if you let him be a part of dealing with it. There is no too big a sin that God can't deal with. There isn't. People have talked to me about abortion. People have talked to me about adulteries. People talk to me about a murder. People have talked to me about molestation. People have talked to me about all kinds of things. I am not Christ. I cannot forgive them. There's only one that they need to be talking to at the moment. That is Jesus Christ. Now, there's other people they may have to later. However, the Lord's going to work that out. But I'm telling you, the Lord can forgive all sin. But there is consequences. My grandmother shared the gospel in Florida many times. That's what she did. And she worked with the women who were on death row. And the day she just said, there's a different attitude when you're working with people on death row. They know they don't know. Most of them don't know the day, but they're going to be called up and they're going to have to go down that walk. And they know that that's the last walk they're going to take after the last meal they just eaten. And I know that she was going to quit one night. And she said, this is my last night. None of them are coming to Christ. But she led someone to the Lord that night. On her very last night, she said she was going to quit, and restored her and renewed her and refreshed her. And then she started working in there again. And then next thing she knows, she's telling me, then the Lord put me in the crossroads with a satanic person, a person who was worshiping Satan and was on death row. And I got to work with her for months. You would think people on death row would just want to come to Christ just like that. Let me tell you, she said it's not the way it is. There's a lot of anger, a lot of bitterness, a lot of I've done things, and there's just no way God could forgive me. There's just no way. But when we sin and we ask for forgiveness, he throws us and casts us as far as the east is from the west, and to remember them no more. So here's what I know. The benefits of following Christ today is this. The sins that I've committed in my past, I don't need to bring them up. If I bring them up, then I'm messing around with stuff I shouldn't be messing around with, because he has forgiven me. If other people bring it up, you need to make sure that you've dealt with that right before the Lord. If you have, you need to say, no, I've dealt with that. Because remember, Satan always wants to talk about your past. Jesus always wants to talk about your future. And I got a pretty good future with the Lord. But I had a nasty past in certain areas, and I bet you have too. So let's move on and talk about the future, because that's where Jesus wants to take us. And if you've been saved and you've been at the crossroads of salvation and you've dealt with it with him, you worked it out, he worked it out, he died on the cross, to accept that salvation and move on so that he can use you in the purposes he laid out for you. There's a legacy for all of us. But if we keep coming back to this place, we're not going to get to the place where God wants us to, because we're not accepting the true gift of forgiveness. So many people cannot get past that. And sometimes it is hard because we know that we've hurt people. And aren't we glad that we don't have to have someone else's forgiveness to have true forgiveness? Because we cannot forgive like the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So he says this in verse 13. As the Father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. There's nothing we brought into this world. There's nothing we can take out of it. From the dust we came, the dust we shall return. I'm just nothing but a big walking pile of clay mud. And God knows that. You see, we weren't there when God just took some dirt and formed this thing called a body and a man. God did that. And he breathed a living spirit into him. He didn't bring life. He breathed a living spirit into him. And that man came to life. I don't think we understand how valuable life is. I don't think we understand the awesomeness of God himself. We are here because God created us. He created us in his likeness. And we have rebelled against that and so much more. But it shows only in these verses, in these scriptures, it shows us only that God just keeps loving us when we walk against him. And his tender mercies rain down and his loving kindness envelops us. And it's hard to take because we don't quite understand it. But he knows how we are, that we are really just dust. You look into a coffin 10 years later, going back to dust. Especially if you go back 100 years in those old pine boxes, or just a hole in the ground and some rocks on top, you quickly go back to dust. Why? Because the scriptures are true. The scriptures are true. From the dust we came, the dust we shall return. Can I remind you of this? In time you will be forgotten, and me too. But God remembers, amen. Verse 15, as for man, his days are like grass. Now let me tell you, I don't think David's writing this right now as a young man. I think he's writing this down as an older man. Okay? Sometimes you don't think like this when you're 25, okay? You're not thinking about life in the way that you do when you're older. But he says, as for a man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. You are forgettable. I'm sorry. I'm forgettable. If this church is here 50 years from now, we're all going to be forgettable. But he is not. Praise the Lord. He is not. The world will forget you. Your friends will forget you. And in time, even if you do a family tree, you'll be a name, but anybody know? No. The last person, it was great, great, and that person passed away, no one knew that, and you'll be forgotten. You'll just be a name on a family tree. But let me tell you something. God knows exactly who you were. You are here specifically in this time of life. In this year, 2020, God's allowed you to live. You are living because He's allowed you to. Let me tell you, it is true, because He's allowed you to. That's it. Some people live with that gift and rebel against God, and others choose to live in a godly fear, which is a good fear. But we will all be forgotten by the world, but not with the Lord. But it's 17, but the mercies of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. And that's what I love about the Lord. He is always talking about the future, everlasting. It doesn't say in 10 years or your first 100 years. It's everlasting, everlasting. Right? It goes on. So God's mercy goes on and on and on. But the mercies of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. We don't understand the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning. We don't understand that. And we never will on this side of heaven. But a lot of those questions you might have about God's Word, you'll get an answer when you get there. Your mind just can't handle it right now. Mine can't handle it. Theologians will argue about it, discuss over it, maybe even just chat over some things. But even them, even the best scholars of the Word, will not know all answers until they get on the other side of heaven. And I believe we'll really, truly understand the mercies of God and the love of God and how powerful that relationship of Jesus and how valuable it was when you were on the face of the earth and you praise God, oh my soul, thank you. I am here and not over there. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him. That's for those who fear Him. Now, there is a good fear of the Lord. Some people fear God like He's going to strike me down with lightning. Or I've heard people say, if I walk in that church, the wolves are going to fall down. I've never seen that before. We can come up with all kinds of excuses. No church has fallen down because somebody walked in it. Because they had that much sin. But the fear of the Lord is truly, I believe it's this. One, it says, because it's those who fear Him. I didn't think like this earlier, but I think about this now. There was a part of my early days, I feared the Lord. Man, I just read so many scriptures where the Lord can take people out, like King Herod. He could take people out. He could take out the Egyptians. All those guys. He can take people out. And God has taken people out. Prophesied so many kings were going to die, all this stuff. But as they grew, there became a different knowledge of understanding the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord isn't that He's going to strike you down as a believer. It's that if you're not living right, He just might take His blessed hand off of you. And with Him goes the blessings and some of the benefits. I'm talking about your salvation, but just the blessings, the protection, as it's talked about in the book of Job, it talks about the hedge. So there is a good fear of the Lord, and we need to have that, and His righteousness to His children's children. So what you do today can have an impact on your children of the future. But then it says, to such as keep His commandments, to those who keep His commandments, and to those who remember His commandments to do them. So there's a part there that I need to live as a Christian to raise my children as Christians. Now, they are adults now. I can't tell them what to do, but I can still speak into their life. And I need to speak into their life. But I have to do it differently now as they are adults and I am an adult. So I have to do it differently. So I have to claim scriptures when one goes to this side and one goes to that side. I have to work it. And I have to. And I'm going to tell you this. Listen, don't you think prayer is a waste of time? There's times when you got to wrestle, and I'm telling you, you'll wrestle like no other when you're wrestling for one of your loved ones. And you're interceding, and you're standing at the gap. And you look and you see there is no hope, but you know there's only one hope, and that is Jesus Christ. And you're going to be there. They may not see you. They may see you sometimes. They love you, but they may not want to hear what you got to say. But you're standing on the same crossroads as they are. You don't have to make the decision, but you're there with them, and you're praying for them. Amen? And I've done that so many times, and guess what? I know as long as I live, I'm going to keep doing that. Sometimes I spend more time with another one. But sometimes I spend time with someone that they don't know, but I'm at the gap praying for them. And a decision that I think is coming down, it's not a good one, or it's a good one. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to be at the gap, and I'm going to keep praying for them. Not just my own kids, my own family, but for the church family. Ladies at the Lifehouse, I'm telling you, I pray for you every day. When you do well, I praise the Lord. When you do not, when you mess it up, I'm praying for you every day. Every day. And even if you walk up toward my office, there's a table there. There's the pictures of some ladies there that's not in our program anymore, good and bad. Some back to prison. Some has graduated. I pray and I walk by them. I see them. Sometimes I'll stop and I'll just pray over their life because I don't know where they are. Some of them I do. But my prayer life needs to be strong because I know the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Doesn't make me special. Just means doesn't make anyone special. But if you let Jesus Christ work in your life, God hears your prayers, and the prayers are going to be answered one way or another. But he says, to such who keep his covenant, there is a benefit in keeping the Lord's commandments, keeping the Lord's word in your life every day. It will keep you spiritually strong. Amen? I want to be spiritually strong. I want to stay physically strong, but I got to work on that. But I also have to work on my spiritual strength. It just don't happen by talking about it. You got to do it. Verse 19, the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. There is truly only one throne. We all think it's the presidency, the White House. That is nothing. Have you ever drove by it? Let me tell you, TV gives you this big idea. You ever drive by Graceland? Anybody seen by Graceland Elvis place? It's puny. Compared to houses today, it's not that impressive. You kind of get let down. Now you look over to the other side, there's those planes, but they're getting kind of beat up. It's not that impressive. You go by the White House, you've been to Washington, D.C., see the White House, it's not that impressive. Everything looks big on TV. It's not really that impressive. I didn't think it was. I didn't be inside, but I drove around it. See the Ford Theater? It's like a tiny little block. It's not that impressive. But I'll tell you, the Lord's throne will be impressive. There is none like it. Colors. We see glimpses in Isaiah chapter 6. We see glimpses of it in Revelations 1, 2, 3, 1 and 3, 1 and 2 and 3. We see glimpses of it. And glimpses of it all the way through the whole Revelation. There is nothing like the throne of God. We're going to get to see that one day. Our eyes could not take it in the flesh. I truly believe our eyes could not take it in the flesh. It's too beautiful. It's too beautiful. It's too beautiful. But there is only, the Lord is in charge. Now I know there's election coming up and we're all about this and that. Let me tell you something. The Lord is in charge. I cast my early vote today. That's it. I'm done. I'll pray either way it goes, whatever, and I'm done. Got to be the man that God's called me to be. On the good days, sad days, whatever it's going to be, I'm just going to go on with it and keep doing what I need to do. Because it's bigger, my life is bigger than what's going on just in America. My life is worth something. Your life is worth something. Verse 20, he says, bless the Lord, you his angels. He calls out. I see when he's writing this, he's getting excited. He's kind of like getting excited. He says, bless the Lord, you his angels. He's calling out the angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Then he says, bless the Lord, all you, his hosts, you ministers, preachers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all of his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bookend. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that we talked about are just a fragment of the benefits of serving God. That's better than any employee package that we can get. And he is the perfect boss, master, whatever you want to call him. And folks, he is a master. He is a master. You do some research on the King James Version. You do some research. They didn't use the word slave. Servant was supposed to actually be slave, but they didn't want to offend people, so they kind of used the word servant many times. But we have a great master. We have a great owner. He is a creator. He is a savior. He's all those things. He is all those things. And we are just dust. But he created us, and he saw, and he loved man. And he's invested more than you or I can ever invest in this world. He's invested so much. Let me close with this. Do you ever want to give a present to somebody and can't wait to give it to them? You just can't wait to give it to them. You're so excited. I think the Lord's like that. That's why he gives it to us in scriptures. Just wait. You wait and see. And I believe when we see the gift of being in the glory of God, seeing our loved ones that know him, seeing them there. Oh, you'll know him as they know him. You won't even have to ask. You'll know, oh, there goes Peter. There goes James. Oh, there goes Moses. It's the celebration. It's the reunion. They're not going to have they don't have the reunion yet. They're waiting on you. They're waiting on me. Nobody gets left out of it. It's a great celebration and dining. And then when we pass, if we pass and Jesus hasn't come, we still all got to wait. I love what you said, Larry. I didn't catch all of Sunday night, but there was a great piece. Ed said something over on the corner. He said, man, there was a moment in my life I just prayed, Lord, what's waiting so long? What's waiting so long? And he said, about his second coming. And he said, oh, what about your friends? And said something like that. And Larry said, I am glad he didn't come because I wouldn't be going. That was the icing on the cake. So God has a reason. Because let me remind you that, is there people that you prayed for? I prayed for a lot of kids. As a youth pastor way back when, I prayed for a lot of them. And they're not all living for the Lord. I keep up with a few here and there. So right now, do I really want the Lord to come? I do. But also, it's like, Lord, hold back. I got a few family members that just aren't accepted in you yet. There's a few people in the church that are still on the... they've not come to Christ yet. When the Lord comes, he will come. Amen. Do not forget the Lord's benefits. I would challenge you, I don't usually do this, but I would say, you get a chance between now and the weekend, read 103 and ask God to speak to you and say, Lord, how have I experienced this benefit? And I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. Because when you read the word, it does not come back void. He may reveal you a bunch of stuff, or he may wait till you get to a certain place that you just need to hear. He's going to remind you that he's still God, and he sits on the throne. He may just remind you of one benefit that you need to remember, because he's that good. Amen? Let's stand. Father, as we come to a close, we just pray that our hearts will be receptive to what we've heard tonight and obey your word and your spirit. For it's in Christ's name, amen. If you want to come tonight, you want to pray,